remember even way back in radio school, they would teach you this. When you are creating a mix, so you're layering the music along with the voice, what do you want to stand out? So in this podcasting space, it is the voice. You want to hear what you have to say.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, Adam AAA Adams, and I'm excited to have you. Thank you for joining. And actually, you're in for a treat today, because we're going to be talking a little bit about how you find your voice, how you make sure that you have a visible voice. We're going to be talking about the difference between, I think, male hosts and women hosts, which is going to be really fun with Mary Chan today. And she's also a voice coach. She does post-production. She has 20 plus years in radio. She's coached hundreds of radio announcers, small businesses, etc. One of the things on her website, if you go to www.organizedsound.ca, because she's from Canada, if you go to www.organizedsound.ca, and you don't even have to memorize it, it's already in the show notes. But if you jump on over there, you'll see that I think it's the middle option, if I remember correctly. She has voice coaching, and who knows? I actually am wondering if I'm going to need to hire her for as a voice coach, because I honestly think that there's a lot of things that you can gain from voice coaching. One of the bad things that I would say that I'm hoping to ask her about is with me, when I wear my headphones all day on Wednesdays, I'm wearing my headphones, and so I actually can't hear myself all that well. So I'm actually projecting my voice a little bit more harshly than even normal. And if you add on top of that, if you add the fact that generally I speak from my throat, but instead of my diaphragm, it really destroys my voice fast. And so I've actually been thinking, if I'm going to be continuing to do these all day Wednesday calls, I'm probably going to have somebody that I sit down with where they say, cut it out, Adam, you're talking from your throat, not your diaphragm, or whatever it is. Maybe I'm enunciating things incorrectly, or whatever it is. I'm excited. We'll probably get into that a little bit today. Mary founded and organized sound production. Organized Sound Production is the name. Founded Organized Sound Productions. I said it completely wrong, but that's what it is. Three letters, OSP, a podcast production and consulting company. And today you can find her on her own podcast, which is called The Podcaster's Guide to a Visible Voice, where you will empower yourself to amplify your voice from your diaphragm, not from your throat, to speak with courage and spirit. Mary, I'm sorry that my intro for you and this episode was so long. I'm sure you're bored. How are you today?
Not bored. That was great. Thank you so much. It was good insight into your own voice experience too.
Yeah, and I think that I'm probably not the only one that goes through those issues. And I hope maybe you can give me some free coaching today while I have you, which actually is one of my favorite things about having a podcast.
Yes.
Is sometimes you can ask free advice to the best people out there, and you might have normally paid them $200, $300, $600, $1,000 an hour for that coaching, but it seems like you can sneakily.
That's a word. Oh, yeah. Sneakily. Let's use that as a real word.
Grab all of this value. And Mary's not even going to know today that I'm getting this free value from her. So I'm really excited. So a couple things that I want to talk about with you is this idea, first off, of that you and I were talking about in the pre-interview about how I asked you, what sets your podcast post-production company apart? And one of the things really kind of, it floored me. I wasn't expecting anything like that. You said that you're really good with really bringing out women's voices because they actually need to be edited different or something like that. Can you go into more detail for the listener?
Yeah, for sure. So what I mean by that is when I was in radio, even back then, like I was in radio for 20 years before I started this whole podcasting space. And even then, I have always heard women's voices very differently from a man's voice, and it has not really anything to do with confidence or ego or anything like that, but men and women just speak very, very differently, and especially on a conversation. So if we're talking about a podcast episode here where women host, woman guest versus male host or male guest, men and women speak differently. And one of the examples is, if you go back in history, long, long in history, men were always the one that made the decisions. And so when they did, and when they talked about it, someone had to be a winner. And so a man would say one thing, the other man would say another thing, and they would kind of almost have like a jousting or a duel on who can win the conversation, right? Like who has the best thing to say and who is right. Versus when women have a conversation, they speak more horizontally and they want to convey more empathy and understanding and not have that duel of, oh, I have this. This is better than what you're saying. And so when women do speak, they do tend to have a lot more what we call filler words or crutch words, where we'll say, because we're trying to emote that, yes, we're talking about a sensitive subject here, or yes, I understand what you're saying. So we might repeat the same thing you said, or repeat just a phrase, or say, a lot to let you know that we understand what you're saying. We're not trying to interrupt you. We're just having a horizontal conversation versus a vertical. So when I edit a podcast, I do edit it slightly different based on those little nuances. Does that make sense to you?
It actually does. It wouldn't have unless I had you to share it. But I do see that, you know, going back in 1600s, 1700s, 1800s.
And yeah, back then
all
in
that,
history.
Just kind of thinking as we're coming to where we are, it does feel like many men, and I think I have to be included in this, it's like if we're louder, we have more volume, we have more confidence, if we have more authority, if we're speaking more matter-of-factly, if we're more dominating on the conversation, then we win the conversation. We're the right ones. And unfortunately, I have to admit that I like to be right. So there's a lot to that, and I think it's interesting. I never thought about it so much as a horizontally speaking, repeating the last phrase and kind of like letting the other one speak. I almost want to be the last one to speak. I always want to be the one to give the most advice. Right. I want to be the one who seems smarter, I guess. And maybe you don't always see that with the gender differences. So that is insightful, and I appreciate it. The next topic, if you don't mind me jumping into a little bit of free advice and saving $1,000 right now, what can I do to be a better with my voice? From the 10 minutes that you've known me so far,
yeah.
What is it that I could do to protect my voice or to maybe even to get across better what I'm looking to get across in an episode?
Two things quickly right off the top of my head. So you even noticed before you were talking about how you talk more in your throat versus your diaphragm. And diaphragmatic breathing and speaking is very, very key. So for example, right now you're sitting. And when you're sitting down, you're compressing your diaphragm a lot more. And so, yeah, so you have the boom arm. You can move your mic up or down. And I'm not saying that you have to be sitting straight up the whole time and be this stiff person, because when you have beauty in your voice, it is because you are also moving your body. So I tend to love to stand. Standing is a great way to not only use your diaphragm more, but also to be able to move your body, because your voice doesn't just come from your vocal cords in your throat. It comes from the resonance of the vibrations in your skull, in your chest, in your arms, in your entire body. So I tend to love to talk with my hands and really emote that way too. So it's not just a vocal experience. It is a full body experience. And then I tend to hit my microphone sometimes.
Which is so weird because I didn't even hear it. She totally just smacked her mic and it sounded like a tiny scratch. That's funny. So here's the thing. So I'm going to try.
And first of all, for those who are...
Speak from my diaphragm.
And those for if you're listening and you don't know what I'm talking about, diaphragm, what we were mentioning, the diaphragm. So that's a big muscle that's just at the bottom of your rib cage. So when people breathe, people tend to breathe in the chest and raise their chest up. But proper breathing, that's actually quite healthy for you. If you think of it more like a yoga breath, it is in your diaphragm. So it's that little space just below your rib cage and above your belly button. So if you put your hand right there and breathe in, you want that to expand like a balloon. And then when you breathe out, you want to contract your diaphragm. So it shrinks like a balloon. And that's when you actually speak. It's when you shrink the diaphragm and that air that comes through your vocal cords, that's how the voice actually happens.
Can we practice it for a second before we go into the second thing that you wanted to teach me?
Sure.
All right. So I've got to breathe in through from my stomach.
Your diaphragm.
And then
your stomach. Yeah.
And then when I want to start talking, I squeeze my abs.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And how do I take it away from the bottom of my throat where I'm really trying to get the sound from there? Like, how do I mentally think about not putting it from my throat, but kind of taking it?
Okay. So then
I don't know how to do it. It's not easy for me.
No.
And by the way, are you standing up right now?
I totally
are you actually
am
standing up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe I'll try standing. I know it's going to look weird to anybody who's on YouTube. I'll just try to just stand up and move my mic and move my headphones. I actually do feel a little bit more relaxed now. It's still hurting my throat probably because I still have my headphones on and I'm still learning and I've been talking all day already, but it feels a lot more natural now.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
There you go. So that's first step. Second step, how loud are your headphones? Like, what do you hear? Because you were saying that you feel like you need to yell more and project more.
Yeah. So my headphones cut out almost all outside sounds from the headphones. And one thing that I do when I'm doing my interviews, and I could probably change it, is my headphones don't hear myself, which is probably a huge mistake on its own.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know how to actually change my system so that I can hear me and you. I can only really hear you. That's how it automatically happens. And yeah, I don't know actually how to make my sound come through my earphones. But if I did, that would make a giant difference. Because even if I just take my headphones out and I can hear myself better, louder, then I don't push to be heard as much. So do you have any tips?
Even right now in your voice, just this last sentence or two, you did bring that level down. And I think it's just the awareness too.
Yeah.
So definitely you should be able to hear yourself, because not only for your voice, but for your podcast recording. So if you accidentally hit the mic or you find that you tap a pen on the table a lot, or you're clicking, you can hear that. So any noise that you make or that is in the room, you hear it in the recording. So that's kind of vital, so that you know, oh, there's that weird clicking sound. I got to stop that because it's on the podcast now. So not only just for your voice, but for your recording environment as well.
So do you know how to change is it my Zoom settings? Is it my sound settings? Do you know what I have to change? Because I know 100%, Mary, that if you help me with this one thing right now, you're going to be helping thousands of people. Thousands, literally.
So on your Zoom settings, what is your speaker setting right now? So if you go to where the mute button is, there's that little up arrow. If you click on that, and then there is select a speaker. What have you got for select a speaker?
It's got Relic High Definition Audio.
Okay, so that's only the audio that's coming out of your laptop, I would assume your computer.
Okay. And I've got a desktop for mine, and I'm hardwired into the internet, by the way, which every podcaster needs to do. Stop using Wi-Fi.
Yes.
But I'm going to click on this other one that says 2 Acer something, which I don't even have an Acer, but I'm going to click it and see what happens here. So select a speaker. I'm going to move to that. Mic check, mic check. I can't hear myself anymore.
No.
And will you talk?
Yeah. So
I can't hear you either.
So yeah, that Acer one just sounds like a computer thing.
Yeah. Okay.
It depends on the gear that you have.
These are my screens. My three monitors are Acer brand. I think it was trying to push volume out of my monitor somehow.
Yeah, there might be audio out for your monitors. Some do have that.
Makes sense.
You might not have the ability based on what your gear is.
Okay.
So for this particular mic that I have, it's a Shure MV7. It actually has a headphone jack on the back.
Okay.
So that's how I'm hearing. And then so I've got it set up there's a piece of software that comes with this too that I can hear myself and you can adjust to that.
Okay. So really I have one curious question. I apologize for cutting you off. Now, check it out. This is what I think I'm seeing. I'm trying to explain it to the listener. What I think I'm seeing is she's got one cord coming out of the back of the Shure that's probably going to her computer, but she has a separate one that's probably going to her ears. But it seems like that could be problematic because maybe you're bypassing it, that what might be going through the whole computer and how it's going to sound after it's been filtered through everything might be different than what you're hearing. Is that ridiculous for me to suggest that?
No, but there is, like I said, it comes with the Shure Motive app, which you can adjust listening to your own voice and the playback. So what I'm hearing from you too. So you do get a bit of that. And then, you know, it really just depends on what equipment you have too, because I also have an audio interface, Focusrite Scarlett, and then that's for all my XLR mics. So not a USB mic.
Yeah.
And it has a button for direct monitor playback. So that is hearing everything that's coming into the mic. And that is really vital because then you'll know if you are, it's called over-modulating on the mic. So you're way too loud and it's got that crackly sound, right?
Absolutely.
You can't hear that if you don't hear your own voice.
Yeah. And another thing that I've noticed with a lot of other podcasters and YouTubers is sometimes when they're talking with their hands and being natural and looking around naturally, what ends up happening for some people is they'll look at the mic for a little while and then they'll look away from the mic for a little while and then they'll look back at the mic and they sound to themselves, especially if they don't have the headphones coming through on their own sound, then they're going to be missing all of that. They don't even know that. They're just talking and looking around.
Yes.
But all of a sudden, it's going quiet and less quiet. And the mic that I'm using right now is a directional mic. So you really have to be in front of it if it's going to hear you. And the same thing with my other mic at my other studio, which is a Shure, but it's a different one than yours. It's the old version that Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on.
Yep.
That other one, I've got it set, dialed in so awesome that it only works if you're 2 inches from it.
Yeah, if you're right here. And it's similar with my mic too. So sometimes I'll have people, another reason why I like standing is that you know you have to be right here. When you're sitting, you can then relax, sit back in your chair, and you're talking. And as you can hear, I sound very thin and small and not right rich and full like I am right now.
I need to cut you off. The person who's going to do my post-production is freaking out right now. Earlier you literally said on purpose and then you said on purpose. And I don't know even what that's going to sound like. They're just probably going to cut out the cut out the because that's our system, right? And then secondly, all of a sudden you leaned back and they're probably thinking to themselves, oh, this is too quiet. Adam tells me that I have to level everything out and everything has to be -6, -6, -6 everywhere. And all of a sudden she went to -20.
Yeah.
I've got to lift that back up. And so we're like trying to say these examples. And I hope my editor, my post-production team is going to realize we're doing that on purpose so that the listener can actually get
that. Leave that all in.
Yeah. Anyway, let's jump into the second thing that you thought, and by the way, I sat back down.
I noticed.
I hurt my ankle
yesterday
doing nothing. That's how you can tell that I'm getting old because I wasn't playing basketball. I didn't roll my ankle. It just started hurting for no reason. Anyway, you said there was two things right off the bat that you noticed. The first one was need to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And was the second one about the earphones?
Second one was the headphones, but it ties into also figuring out what your vocal range is. So right now, your range, like you said, is kind of right just here in the throat, a little higher up, actually. It sounds like it's just hitting the back of the throat. You're kind of constricting your vocal cords and you're pushing the air out and you're just kind of getting it out versus knowing, okay, I have this whole range to play from. And one of the techniques I use is think about your vocal range as an elevator. So ideally, the main floor is where you are most natural at. So you're not yelling, you're not whispering, you're just having a great conversation. So that's kind of like in the middle, okay. Not the chest, but like...
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, there.
I'm actually doing it. And it feels, what you just said was all I needed. How much do I owe you, Mary? That was the
give
only
you a bit
thing
more,
that
though.
I needed to be that able to like crush it. Well,
I'm
keep
give
going.
You one,
yeah.
one more thing though with the elevator. I want to finish the elevator.
Okay, so, I'm sorry.
You've got it now. I can hear it too in your voice because you're not yelling. You're not pushing.
It feels so much better.
You are just right here. But if you want to make that emotional connection to your listeners, you got to use your full vocal range. So the full elevator, not just the monotone, you're in the living room. So if you think of like an apartment building or something, if you've got the penthouse suite, you're going to go up to the rooftop garden, you're going to talk way up here, which helps sometimes if you want to inflect up there, or if you're doing like a little fairy voice, that'd be kind of fun. But know that there's all those notes that you can play with. And then go down, take the elevator down, like think of your throat, like your Adam's apple. Even women have like a very small Adam's apple. If you just put your hand on your throat there and just swallow, you can feel that move.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what moves when you're going from your high pitch and then going down to your low pitch. So now if you want to go a little lower and be more authoritative sounding or be more vulnerable in your voice, you want to bring it down into the garage, the chest.
Yeah.
But know that, you know, don't stay there. An elevator moves up and down all the time. So you're going to be down here and speak in a more vulnerable, maybe softer way. And then you're going to come up a little bit more and be up here because you're just questioning something. You're not quite, you want to get an answer to something. And then when you're having that conversation, you want to come back right into the middle and be yourself and put a smile on your face. That's the last tip I always say. You got to smile.
That is so good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've gotten so much value already. Now that I've gotten my free coaching, I don't know if it's free. Mary, she's going to give me a bill. She's going to be
send
like,
send you an invoice at the end of this.
I helped you so much. Here's $10,000. All right. I also want to talk about the full listening experience. I took that note because that seemed to be one of the things that I think you said made you separate your podcast from other podcasts. Whereas this podcast right now, it's really focused on just a conversation, a dialogue between you and me, and a little bit of free coaching. But with your podcast, it sounds like you are using elements of music and maybe sound effects and maybe even having part of the interview and then stopping and doing something else. Why don't you share with us a little bit about your take on your podcast and what makes it stand out, what makes it different, in case it helps the listener to do the same?
Yeah, so a lot of the podcasts these days is very much like the one we're doing right now. There's a host, there's a guest, and we're talking about knowledge and educating people with a bit of entertainment. And so I thought about that.
Wait. A bit of entertainment?
Sorry. A lot of entertainment.
Okay.
So we're entertaining people. We're educating them. And that's all great. That's all well and good. But again, I thought about what you said. What is my differentiating factor? Why create another podcast to add to the almost 2 million at this point in time podcasts that are out there? And so I realize, again, having all that radio experience in the background, the way that I was going to stand out was to create an immersive experience. And so in the audio world, it's the theater of the mind. In the true radio, traditional podcasting space, not on YouTube, but just audio where you can't see anybody, it's all about the audio. So how are you going to elevate that audio experience? And so I realized that I wanted to have that music that can play underneath and tie into the emotions that I want to get at, because your voice also at the same time is tied to your heart and all the emotions in there. So I wanted to align those two pieces together. So the first few episodes of my podcast, The Podcaster's Guide to a Visible Voice, is solo. And I wanted them to be short and sweet. And so I would put music in there to keep people's attention, to play on the emotions, and to not just have somebody talk at you. And now I'm going to also bring in some interviews, and I'm doing that now to also bring in somebody else's perspective and their experience. But at the same time, I'm going to layer in some music to make it more engaging.
Very interesting. By the way, I'm using my voice way better now. You're going to save my voice on Wednesdays, generally at the end of Wednesday. People are like, have you picked up smoking recently? Did you go to a concert?
Yeah. This is not sustainable.
It's so much better right now. I feel like I should have an interview with you every Wednesday, kind of maybe in the beginning, to just kind of set me in the right pace so that I don't destroy it, because I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I am consciously thinking about it. And it's so helpful right now. I hope the listener got value out of it as well, so that what I have to pay you, maybe I could get them to pay me. What's that thing called?
Royalties. I want royalties.
Well, it was actually some website. It starts with a P. Patron. Patreon. Yeah. So I don't have that, for the record. I'm good. Do you have Patreon, by the way, Mary?
I do not, no.
Okay, cool. So you mentioned that some of the things that you do differently is you've got music underneath. One of the things that I wanted to bring out while you said that was, most of the people that I see putting music behind their voice on their podcasts, the biggest mistake that I see is that the music is just way too loud. Do you have anything to say to that?
Yes, for sure. So I remember even way back in radio school, they would teach you this. When you are creating a mix, so you're layering the music along with the voice, what do you want to stand out? So in this podcasting space, it is the voice. You want to hear what you have to say. The content that you have is in your voice and what you're saying. So when you're listening to the mix, creating how loud the music needs to be, when you're just starting out, listen to it from different points of view. So not just in your headphones, but also maybe your computer speaker. Is it more loud? Is the music more loud on your computer speaker versus when you hear it in your headphones? If it is, then you need to turn down the volume. And then maybe create a mix and then listen to it on your jog around the neighborhood in with your earbuds, so it's not like these big headphones, or listen to it on your home speaker system, which is a different speaker from your laptop. The way I was taught in radio is, if the mix sounds great on your crappy home alarm clock radio, people probably don't have alarm clock radios. Everybody has their alarm as their phone these days. But, you know, back in the day, alarm clock radios was just one mono speaker and it wasn't great. It was crackly. So if it sounds great on a crappy speaker, it will sound great on beautiful headphones, on beautiful speakers, and you will be able to hear your voice and your content more clearly when the music is mixed properly.
Perfect. I'm glad you went into that. The next thing that I got from you is that how your voice is tied to the heart. I just wanted to say it again for the listener, as they're planning to have their own podcast, or maybe they already have it. I got something out of that, just to notice that that is your way to project what you're feeling. And I loved it. The next thing that you mentioned about how your podcast is a little bit different is that you keep your podcast episodes short and sweet, and they've been solo. I thought it was interesting that you're starting to get guests, you said, or you just recently started. I want to talk about that, because on this podcast, and I hope this is valuable to the listener, on this podcast, I do two things, and it's very intentional. So number one, I have awesome guests like you. I always say that you have to have guests, and there's really three types of guests, but it's really only two. And the three types of guests is somebody that adds value, somebody that's brand new, and somebody that's famous or adds credibility. And really, it's only two, because I want the second one and the third one to also add value. So we can just cut the first one out and just have somebody who's kind of new, but adds value, and then somebody else who's really famous and adds value. And the reason why I have both of those is one of them, like if you have John Lee Dumas or whatever on your show, it can add a lot of credibility to your podcast that obviously you had to have achieved something or done something or paid something in order to get this great guest. And at the second part, John Lee Dumas, he probably gets interviewed on a million podcasts. And so there's the probability of him sharing it with his audience is almost nothing. However, if you have a brand new person, I did a real estate podcast for a long time. And so I'd get people that just did their first real estate deal. And that was really valuable because then they would share it. And with this podcast, I get people that they come to me and they say, Adam, thank you for inviting me to your show, but I really only started 2 months ago. I don't think I could add any value. Well, number one, I think you can because you're going to resonate with my audience. And number two, I think you can because there's probably a 90% chance that you're actually going to share it with your audience and be like, holy cow, I was on this awesome podcast, which it's not. But they're like, holy cow, I was on this awesome podcast. I'm so famous and check it out. That's why I say have both of those types of guests. However, depending on the purpose of your podcast, I believe if you're doing this as your business, like I do this for my business, Mary does this for her business. So it's incredibly essential to have your solo episodes. That way the listener can really connect with you. I'm interviewing Mary today, but tomorrow you're going to listen to the same podcast, to this podcast, but you're going to hear a solo episode where it's just me diving in on a topic. And I try to do it fairly similar to what you said, although not as elaborate. And all I mean is I still want to go short. I still want to go sweet, concise, get the value, pack it with a punch, and have my listener, the listener of this show that's going to hear it tomorrow, say, wow, I like Adam. I want to do business with Adam. What does Adam do? How can I hire him or whatever? So I think that's critically important. And I know this is a long monologue during a time where I'm interviewing you. And so you probably slap my hands later for that. But the point is, I think it's interesting that you do all the music and all of that. But I'm wondering, as I circle back, I'm wondering if the reason why you're getting other people's perspective to quote you is someone else's perspective, I think is what you said. I wonder if one of the main reasons why you're doing that is to get them, the guest, the potential guest, to help add more exposure to the show, or is it for other reasons?
There was two main reasons. So one, whenever I, and this is something I tell all my clients too, when they are working on their podcast, anytime you are creating something for the podcast and you have a decision to make, always think about your listener. What did they actually want? So when I asked myself that question, it was also because I don't know everything. I want to learn as well, like you, free coaching.
There you go.
So by getting interviews, you are expanding your own perspective and you are expanding your own knowledge by learning from somebody else. I mean, we're all human. We want to learn. And I love learning from other people. And so that's why I brought them on. But then also the second reason is a little bit to do with having their audience come to my show. So growing your show, having that reach. But at the same time, the type of guests that I am bringing on are more experts in the vocal space. So their audience is not my target audience. So for me, it's not as a major play. But for a lot of my clients, that is one of the biggest ways for them to grow their show is when they bring on, say, if you've got a health and wellness business for your podcast, and then you bring on somebody who is a web developer and you interview them. Well, those two things can come hand in hand, because if you have a health and wellness business and you're coaching other people to create a business, they're going to need to know about websites and development for websites. And those two audiences kind of blend together and it's a bigger impact.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking about wanting to make sure that whenever you're trying to make a decision on the podcast, that you want to make sure that you're going in the favor of what the listener wants, that's so critical. And to add on top of that, you started talking about how some of the guests that you're going to have will add a lot of value to your listener, but they don't technically pull in the right target audience. And I think that that's an interesting thing to consider when knowing your avatar, knowing what you're doing this for, knowing who you have as guests. I have definitely seen a lot of mistakes happen in some cases, because I really do come from the real estate world. And in fact, maybe more than half, in fact, of the podcast post-production that we do, they're from the investing world. And just because they kind of followed me over, I used to influence there more. And they were like, oh, well, now Adam's doing podcasts. Let's let him help me or whatever. The point is, I do a lot of their post-production and I hear a lot of them asking questions that don't really serve the whole reason why they're doing it. For example, some of them, they do what it's called syndication. Mm-hmm. It's something that I do. But the point of it is you use these things called private placements where you're able to raise and attract a whole bunch of capital in order to close on like a big apartment building without you having to put all your money.
Right.
They always tell me the reason that they have their podcast isn't to get coaching clients. That's not their goal. They always tell me that the reason is because they've got to raise millions of dollars. And so how are they going to attract it? They figured that they'll have a podcast. But the biggest problem is that they have people coming onto the show who are adding value to the people operating the deals. So they're never really attracting or adding any value to the person that they actually want, because they're just missing that point that you just mentioned. So I think that's huge. There is a fine line. There is a balance. You've got to try to make sure that not that you're adding value to the listener, quote, but that you're adding value to the right listener, to the listener that you want to do business with, for example. Mary, number one, to our listener, the one listening to the show right now, I want them to find Podcaster's Guide to a Visible Voice. It's that purple logo. Yeah. And I downloaded it on my phone, I think when we had our first call, like a month ago or whenever it was. But I have to confess, I haven't listened to it yet. But after having this interview with you, I'm probably going to listen. I'm excited.
You listen to me every Wednesday before you do all your recordings.
Oh, yeah. That's what I need. And now I'm getting my voice back.
There you go.
And additionally, you have your website where you coach and help other people. You can do post-production, especially if there's a woman listening and you're just not really resonating with me to do business, but you resonate with Mary because she knows how to edit that better. Then perfect. Go to organizedsound.ca and you'll be able to find her there. Mary, before we go, is there one or two things that you think that would help the listener if you want to just add a little bit more parting wisdom?
Yeah, know that touching back to your voice reveals what emotions that you have. It's part of your heart. Know that. And whenever you do crack the mic and hit that record button, always ask yourself, how do you want your listener to feel before you ever say anything? And then that way too, you'll know, even for yourself, Adam, you'll know if you are projecting too much, yelling too much.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, you might make me feel like you're just trying to dominate me and, well, maybe I'm going to shut down and not contribute. So how do you want me to feel when you're speaking to me?
Awesome stuff. And is there any other socials that you prefer to share, or are these the two best places they can find your podcast or find your website?
Those are the two best places, but awesome. I also hang out on Instagram or LinkedIn, Facebook. I'm at all those places at
Organized Sound Productions. Have you done that Clubhouse thing yet?
I am out on Android. I love Android. Okay. So I have not been on Clubhouse because it is very exclusive to Apple users.
True. Awesome. I got so much value today. I'm really, really appreciative that you came on the show, and I encourage the listeners to follow you and find you. Thanks for coming on. I'm going to let you go. But to the listener, make sure that you find a way to just grow your influence, grow your brand, and grow your show. Go to growyourshow.com and we will see you next time. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.